I have this like horrible habit where all the shows that I watch are 15 to 30 years old. And so I've unfortunately finished them all. The Golden Girls is done about four times. Mary Tyler Moore has been done twice.
Oh my gosh.
The Sopranos just finished last week. And so this has me thinking I need new programming.
Mm.
So I want to know, what shows have you all been watching? And can we discuss them a little?
Yes.
From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Taylor Coward, and I'm here with Jennifer Shea Love Long. And Cheryl's out today, but we have a very special guest host in the studio. You may know her as the daily host of the WBEZ radio show Reset. Today we have Sasha Ann Simons.
Ow.
She's been kind enough to have us on her show before, and today we're honored to show her the love right back here on When Magic Happens.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh, it's so fun having you.
I've been waiting for this day for so long.
Well, we're excited to have you.
I'm thrilled to be here.
So, what are you watching?
Oh, what am I not watching? I'm watching so many things. And I gotta say, none of it healthy.
Yeah?
It's all just really bad stuff, but it gets me through.
What?
Well, it's like, it's all surrounding love.
Oh, I love love.
Yeah.
But let's hear.
But then it's like trash love.
Oh.
So that's where it's like love with a twist.
Like
so
Love After Lockup.
Every possible love-based reality show you could think of. What I'm on right now or what I've just finished. I just came off The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had to support, you know, Black Bachelorette. Yeah. She found love. Black excellence. That was great. I've fallen off several seasons, but like this time I was like, okay, it's a black girl. All right. Chocolate black girl, you know. Charity's her name. She's wonderful. And she was there, you know, of course, going through the regular 30 suitors trying to find her person. Mm-hmm. In the end, though, fast forward, I'll take you to the end. She picks an African, a Nigerian king. His name is Dotun.
Oh.
Or Dotun, I think is how you pronounce it.
That is probably the first black and black couple ever.
Yes. It's never
Bachelor Nation.
Happened. It happened in Michelle's season, but they were both biracial, I believe. Okay. So close.
Yeah.
We were close. But I'm like, actual black people, two of them to the end. And get this, her final four, three were black.
Wow.
I couldn't believe ABC let this happen. I was shocked. I said, wow. But yeah, no, but they, you know, she picked Dotun and they seem to be happy. I've seen a few interviews since and they seem to be happy because, you know, it was months ago that it was taped.
Yeah.
But I was just so caught up in the whole, you know, the drama of it all. I mean, one guy left and he came back. He's like, Charity, I need you.
Aww.
And it was just like a whole thing. And yeah,
it really works, that drama formula.
Like, it does.
If I am engrossed just from being a viewer, I couldn't imagine what the Bachelor or Bachelorette goes through.
Yeah.
Like being in that situation, constantly having a martini, and everything is on camera.
Like the light.
Like, that has to be so
the mixers.
Emotional.
So many mixers.
Yeah, yes. So many roses.
So They're many.
Keeping the rose industry going.
Even down to the very end, too, where it's obvious. You know she's picking him. She's already rejected guy number two.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so he comes. It's this dramatic drive in the Jeep up the hill, the winding hill, and she's at the top, and he walks up, and we know she's picking him. He gets down on one knee, he proposes, puts the ring on her hand, and then there's still this moment built in where she has to be like, all right, so will you accept this rose? Which makes no sense to me.
You're contractually obligated.
Right.
You're wearing the man's ring on your hand. I think he accepts.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a brief pause, Bachelor Nation, and we will be back after the break.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
Okay, could you do it as a viewer?
Ooh, I've thought about this long and hard, Taylor. And I knew you were going to ask me this question, so I came prepared.
Thank you.
The answer is heck no.
Okay.
Really? I couldn't do it. There's no way. I can't split my heart that way. Mm, I can't. Like,
30 pieces.
I will fall for one and then be stuck on him the entire season. So then for the other 29
even early
of you.
On.
And those aren't
early
good
on.
Episodes.
Really?
I would be the most boring bachelorette that ever existed.
Because I've seen it happen on that program. And I felt it. And I knew who she wanted. And I was like,
I want him immediately.
For you too.
Yeah.
And it's just, it doesn't create the same type of drama as if you're in a love triangle.
Yeah.
I mean, people love triangles, squares, hexagons. And you probably will end up in those on that show.
Yeah.
See, I love
I could
love
see you
so
doing
much,
that.
I could do that.
Jennifer, you could do it?
What kind of bachelorette would you be?
I think that everybody has something that you could enjoy, you know? And so, like, for that whole season, I would just like.
But you got to pick one at the end of the show.
I know.
Yeah. Contractually.
I know. But you also might not find that one, even out of 30. And
so
I
you mean
know.
You just be wasting our time for 16 weeks?
I mean, maybe. But no, I think I could. I ultimately would find someone. But I mean, I think I like the idea of, like, you know, experiencing different people in different ways.
Do you know a show you couldn't do?
What?
Love at First Sight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
I can see Jennifer Shea Love Long hitting that heel and pivoting if she don't like what she sees.
Oh, you mean Married at First
Married
Sight.
Married at First Sight.
I think you're mixing up Love is Blind and Married at First Sight.
Because my head is about to fall off
many of
my shoulders.
Shows.
There's Love After Lockup, 90 Day Fiancé, 90 Day Fiancé the
Ready
other
to
way.
Love.
There's so many.
The Ultimatum.
So what's on my mind? Am I thinking of Married at First Sight?
You're thinking of Married at First Sight where the first time you see your partner is at the altar. You are chosen by experts, and so is your partner. And then you're told 2 weeks before the wedding day that you're getting, guess what, Jennifer? You've been chosen, you've been matched, and you're getting married in 2 weeks. And then you have 2 weeks to, like, tell your family, find your dress, all that good stuff. And then the wedding day comes, you walk down the aisle, and the first time you see your groom is right at the top of the aisle.
Okay, now wait.
You
now
know nothing about him.
So you don't know anything about him?
You know nothing about him.
And you've not spoken to him?
Not
have,
even his you name. Have, you don't know his last name. You don't know anything.
Trust these, you have to trust these expert matchmakers that they've done what you have asked of them.
Oh. That I couldn't do.
It's
that.
A lot.
Like, that,
so
no.
That you couldn't do.
No.
But the Bachelorette, where you get to just bask in the glory of the 30 guys fighting for you.
What is the other one? There's one where you get to choose if you want to do the wedding. Is that the same show?
You might be
Love
thinking
is
of
blind?
Love is Blind, where you're sitting in these pods and you choose a partner. So the fact that I know the answer to all of these questions, this is how I know you'll never invite me again.
No, every time.
It's like she's watching too much
TV. We got to have a reality
We gave her one
up.
Job.
I love it.
But that's where you sit in the pods and you can't see, right? You can't see the people. Mm. You're just kind of connecting emotionally, and the whole point is, like, is love really blind?
Yes.
Can you fall in love? Can you get to the point of an engagement not having ever seen this person?
Yeah.
But at least
one,
in that case, you've talked to them.
That one is wild, though.
Really?
There was a guy who was pretending to be really hurt by a rejection, and this is when you know, this is like, he broke the fourth wall. He looked at the producers, and he was like, do you mind? And he leans back and puts in eye drops. But they're still rolling. And he's like,
gosh.
I just can't believe she did that to me. And like all of that.
Stop.
But it was eye drops. And I was like, I can't with these shows. But I'm glad they showed that, because there are people who genuinely are, maybe I'll try this thing and see if I find love.
Right.
Like, I to this day think that Tiffany New York Pollard went on Flavor of Love because she was interested in Flavor Flav. And nobody can tell me different.
Oh, you think she was really
She was serious.
She might have been
really?
The only serious one.
I think she was serious.
What about Delicious?
I just saw you had her
Absolutely
on,
not.
And I was rooting for her, but
I wanted Tiffany to come through. Don't bring me back and still not pick me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of those shows, I think people go because they know it's a quick way to like C-level fame.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, this will get me on TV. And that's what I think iDrop Guy was doing. But there are some people like Rachel Lindsay. I think
yes.
Rachel Lindsay was like, I'm a successful lawyer. Like, I'm having a hard time finding a man that's really going to match me. Why not do this show?
Yeah.
You know, what show was she on?
She was the first Black
She was the first Black Bachelorette.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And she was great. And she was very relatable to Taylor's point where it was just like, okay, I'm successful and I'm just having a hard time meeting people organically.
Mm, yeah.
This
yeah.
is a great idea. This is a great way to do it.
See?
And she's still married to her husband, Brian.
Oh, wow.
They're still married. They've been bi-coastal for a little bit, but now they've moved in together and it's like.
I love how you're into it.
I mean, you know,
I love it.
It's all about the gram. I follow people on, I follow them on social media, and suddenly I know what's going on in their lives.
Do you have a like top reality show that you know won't fail you?
Ooh, that I know won't fail me. They all fail. They
right,
all,
yeah,
but it's
by nature. But one you can go back.
But it's
to.
A failure that I'm willing to go on the journey.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, because I do news every single day, and it's so serious and. I want the escape. That's why I turn to these shows.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that my ultimate favorite of all these like love-based reality shows is Ready to Love. I don't know if you ladies are familiar with
what
that one.
What channel is that?
So this one's on OWN, and this is so the cast each season. There have been like a handful of seasons at this point in different cities, but the cast it's all Black, and everybody's in their 30s or 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's even been somebody that's been 50. So it's the idea is these are older people, really ready to settle down. Like some have been married before, they have kids, you know, that kind of thing. And so I like that show because. A, it goes from city to city, so I feel like, oh, I have a chance. Like, maybe they'll come to my city, and, like, I can I can jump in the ring. But it feels more realistic because they, like, they go on real dates, and they, like, they still have their real life. Like, they'll still go to work every day and come home, you know, and then, like, set up dates, and then the cameras are just there for their dates in the evenings.
Really?
It's not like The Bachelor where everyone lives in a mansion in
okay.
some, like, fantasy place. Like, so it's incorporated in your real life.
Yes.
And that's what I like
so
about it.
So you're not in a villa in Tuscany.
You're not in a villa in Tuscany. If you live in Atlanta, you're still in Atlanta. You still go to work at Coca-Cola every day. And you come home and you know, you plan your dates.
Because I think that's what is the detriment of a lot of those relationships on the shows.
Yeah.
Is like, you whisked me away while we were like in this beautiful coastal village having dinner and the chef like flipped your... fish in front of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you go back home and you're like, oh my gosh, your apartment sucks. Or you're like, oh my gosh, I saw a toenail on the floor.
So true.
And like seeing their real life.
Yeah.
And I think, is it Married at First Sight or Love is Blind? That's my favorite part of the show is it's all romantic. And then we get back to our real life and have to live together for a couple weeks.
You talking about Married at First Sight?
I love that part.
Because, I mean, that show goes super fast, though.
Yeah.
Of all the shows we're talking about, that one is ridiculously quick.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you just met him at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
You get married. You're just meeting each other's families. It's photo shoot time. All of a sudden, you got to
right.
like fake, you know, you got to kiss, you know, for the photos.
You're meeting their families.
You're
the
literally
first time.
Meeting their mom and dad for the first time right there. And then the next day, you pack for your honeymoon. And then you go to like Jamaica for a week.
Yeah.
With this stranger you just met yesterday, but also he's your husband.
Right.
And then you come back from the honeymoon, which is just 7 days, and then it's time to move in together. But before that, you go to each other's homes and you pack what you need to pack because they move you into like a neutral apartment. But then, as Taylor said, for the first time, you're seeing how they live. So you're walking through and you're like, ew, yours
you used
sucks.
The same bath towel all week.
Exactly.
So wait, so in that instance, is there like a couple that you recall that's like, they actually gelled with each other?
Yeah. And now their names escape me, but they are...
But it's possible.
But it is possible.
Yeah.
It
okay.
is possible.
You
but that but that show, though, the success rate is super low.
Because a lot of it is just based on attraction.
Super low.
And so some people just like, well, I'm going to stick it out because he or she is hot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you think back at couples that made it, like you have to skip seasons because you're like, well, no, not that season. Everybody divorced. Okay, nope. What about that season? Nope. No, everybody divorced there too. And then you go back one and you're like, ah, yeah, that one. They're
right.
still together and they have a baby. And,
right.
you know, so it's slim pickings.
Yeah, that is.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
What is your favorite, like, vintage show? Like, a show that hasn't been on in the past, like, 10 years?
So, okay, mine, this is one that if I see it pop up, I love watching. I love watching The Cosby Show. In a Different World. Uh-oh, can I say The Cosby Show? Sorry. I'm sorry. I can't say that. Why y'all looking at me like that, though? I mean, I like it. I mean, I'm just saying. I see characters. I don't see people. Mm-hmm. Like, I see dead people.
I see people behind the curtain.
It's okay. Also giving, like, when white people are like, I don't see color.
Oh.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, okay, fine. I'll pick another fucking show. How about we do that?
I mean, I was just going to go Fresh Prince.
Okay, but in all seriousness, I like The Cosby Show because I love seeing beautiful Black people doing great things. I thought it was funny and fun. I like all the different, but I didn't even really like it like that.
You didn't?
See, you didn't like Maxine Shaw?
I mean, I like Maxine Shaw, but I'm saying like, so my show was A Different World.
Okay. Oh, can you give a premise? We should probably, because I'm realizing we may not watch all the same shows as I kept getting the marriage shows wrong. So give a tight premise of what the show is.
So A Different World is about, you know, a group of students who are going to a HBCU and just their experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's a comedy. And
was Tupac on there?
Tupac was on there.
I think
there.
A clip
Tupac
resurfaced on of there. Him recently on there.
Yeah. Jada Pinkett. And all kinds of people. Cree Summer was
Kadeem
on there.
Kadeem Hardison.
Jasmine Guy. Sinbad, he was on there.
Oh, that's right.
So A Different World. Different World would be my last 10 years.
Okay. Mm. Sasha?
Fresh Prince.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can watch Fresh Prince reruns at any time. Do I have to give the story of...
Sure.
Well, it's about a guy. Who was
where
from
was he
West
born and
Philadelphia.
Raised. There we go.
Born and raised.
On the playground?
On the playground is where he spent most of his days.
Oh, chilling?
In Philly. And he got into some trouble.
Where?
And his mom got scared. And basically she was like, you're moving with your auntie and uncle to Bel Air. Right. And so he moves to Bel Air. And I guess the show picks up from there. And yeah. We just get to see his life living in this rich mansion. When he comes from, you know, the hood in Philly. But it's hilarious. I love Fresh Prince reruns.
I love the fantasy of that era of shows.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't think they would work today.
Really
Everything
lying.
Is so gritty. The Golden Girls is my favorite vintage show. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite, because most of my shows are vintage. So that's one of my favorite vintage shows. And just some of the things that happen are just like so 80s sitcom-y. They just wouldn't really fly today with audiences, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Sometimes they say some stuff that's really out of pocket, and you're like, ooh.
But, like, I mean, like, even the silliness, like, I feel like it was more allowed then, because I feel like Fresh Prince definitely had silly moments. They did have, like, very special episodes, but, like, a lot of it was silly. Or, like, Martin. Like, when
oh, my gosh.
Like, one of my favorite scenes, they were like, someone was cutting their toenails and it like a big toenail flew across
oh,
the room
yeah,
and they
I
were playing
that.
Like the Million Dollar Man music.
Oh
it was so,
I remember that.
So funny. And like now with the clear, crisp HD cameras we have and with how serious a lot of our shows are now and our sitcoms, mm-hmm. it just wouldn't be the same. And so those vintage shows, I think so many people have nostalgia for because yes. it was yeah. like, it was just different.
Yeah, it's just kind of like clean, fun humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. do we really have sitcoms these days?
I can't even think of one. What do I watch that would be a sitcom?
So many dramas today.
Yeah, mainly like, drama.
Do we have drama favorites? Because there are so many.
I have one that I got into.
What?
It's called Who is Aaron Carter on Netflix.
Like the,
no.
Nick Carter's brother?
Nick and Aaron?
The Backstreet Boy brother?
What in the world is happening?
Not Aaron Carter? They just died?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Sorry.
I'm like,
goodness.
The Backstreet Boy brother?
Oh, that's who he is?
But that's not who she's talking about.
No, okay.
Right.
So,
we're talking about the same person. Okay. Y'all Jennifer's not.
I'm ready to learn.
This is...
Teach me.
Teach me. So this is Who is Aaron Carter? Mm-hmm. It's like a thriller kind of mystery. And it's really kind of this woman who's presenting as a teacher, but she's got like this whole backstory that's really interesting. And it's kind of a thriller and action, which mm-hmm. I generally don't gravitate to, but mm-hmm. it was intriguing.
Yeah, I'm not a big action person either.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, ooh, this is actually good.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm stuck on like the Power franchise.
Okay, that's
still
a good one.
Yeah, I watch the spinoffs. I'm big on Power Book 2, Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for that to come back. And Force is okay. back. It just returned. I watched episode 1. I went to a special screening for that. That's the one that's based in Chicago.
Mm.
And that's cool. Tommy's running amok, still killing people. It's perfect.
Violence?
Oh, yeah.
Did y'all like Scandal?
I love Scandal.
I rewatched an episode over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I remembered I remembered the drama. And like that to me was like, I don't know if I can say the last, but it's the appointment television program that I remember in my lifetime. Because mm-hmm. I think appointment TV had really died. But like Shondaland on Thursdays.
Yeah, Thursday yes. days.
Not want to miss TGIT Thursdays on ABC.
Yeah,
it's true.
And I was one of the people that didn't watch those, like that and How to Get Away with Murder. I think it came on back to back or something.
Yeah, it did.
And so I remember avoiding Twitter on Thursdays because I was like, oh God.
Do you have a show where you just can't find other people that you can talk about it with?
Well, I mean,
yes, I do. As a matter of fact, Jennifer does.
Nobody wants to talk about the show. I want to talk about
it. And it rhymes with Bosby. The Bosby Show.
Something like that.
Yes, I do understand.
It's tough because I think people are really excited to talk about a show, like when it ends especially. But now with streaming, people end shows at different times.
They do.
And so it's like you're hyped up and you remember everything that just happened. But you and Jennifer finished it 5 weeks ago.
Right.
You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right.
So true.
And so you have to catch somebody at the perfect time.
Yeah. That actually is a great point because there is something special about appointment TV.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like everybody is experiencing
it
at the same time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you talk about it at the same time.
I don't think we have any right now.
Yeah.
And we all have the same wait for the next
episode.
It was
Succession, I think.
Ooh, a lot of people were
Cause
on Succession.
Because I was glued to my TV every Sunday waiting on Succession.
Is that on HBO?
It was.
Okay.
I remember Game of Thrones, too. That was also a Sunday night obsession of everyone else except me.
I can't always do fantasy, and Game of Thrones was a little too graphic for me for my age when it came out. And then even now, it's a little too gratuitous for me.
Hmm.
And so I haven't been able to watch Game of Thrones, but I'm a big HBO fan. I'm looking through the Max app to see what I've been watching recently. It is things that came out some time ago. You know, okay, so since I watch older shows, it's kind of tough to, like, look at things through the lens of 2023. Like, with the Golden Girls in particular. Mm. Sometimes I have to remind myself that, like, things they were saying in the 80s, we just, like, think differently about now. And I still think the show was more progressive than other shows in their sense of, like, you know, dealings with gay people. They had an episode about interracial relationships. Like, they were a little ahead of the curve. Another show I'm thinking about is Designing Women.
Oh, I remember that.
That episode with Tony Goldwyn when he had AIDS.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, people don't want to be around me. People don't want to touch me. Mm. And he came to the Designing Women, I think, to like plan his funeral. Mm. And so it was this heavy, very special episode about the AIDS crisis. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I'll see things in a show and I'll be like, would these characters or these actors really, would they have said that today? Or do they really feel that way today? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when you consume like vintage television, and even vintage film, you kind of have to be like, maybe that's not really how they think. Or sometimes you just know, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to just really be like, all right, we wouldn't do that today, but I don't think they would do that today either.
Yeah, I, you know, it's interesting because I never connect the character to the person.
Okay.
You know, I always think that that person is, that's their job. They're playing this role mm-hmm. that happens to be their job. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that necessarily their ideology is aligned with what their, the script they're reading.
Yeah, true.
That's just, I mean, you know what?
I hear you.
I'm done.
We gonna talk about the Cosby Show.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast. And big shout out to our guest host, the fabulous Sashian Simons, for joining us on the show today. Where can the people find you on socials?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Sashian Simons.
You can find me, Jennifer Shea Love Long, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
And you can find me, Taylor Coward, on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online. And we would love to hear from you, our magical listeners. Our email address is magic@wbez.org. Send us anything.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer. Engineering by Ethan Schwab. See y'all next week.